Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Thank you to Yaniv from Chazak for helping organize. People like Yaniv have a special VIP place in Olam Haba, because it's much harder to bring the people to the lecture than to make them religious while they're there. Because the heart of the Jew, once he hears Divrei Torah, that's it. It melts his Yetzer Hara. But to bring him to the lecture, that's the hardest part. I always say. So everyone who will hear this lecture, I want first to encourage them to promote more lectures. We need more Yanivs. Many, hundreds, thousands we need. If everybody will help to approach 30, 40 Jews in 1 year, there will be revolutions. Spiritual revolution. And to host in the houses, to find houses to do lecture. Sometimes people don't want to make a lecture. So you have to be clever. You have to tell them, oh, it's your anniversary, or birthday, or Yahrzeit, or Chanukat Bayit. Find a reason why to make a lecture. Because the most important thing is the Divrei Torah, not what the rest. It's really not so important. We are in between Parashat Re and Parashat Shoftim, and we are now 2 days, exactly 48 hours before the beginning of the month of Elul, the critical month of the year, Chodesh Elul. Anybody that 11 months until now, from the beginning of the year until now, play games and didn't take life serious, that's it. We're coming to the last stage now. We don't have that much time left. If we fall asleep another 2-3 weeks, the next year will look horrible. Why? Because the next year is determined on how this year looked. If this year was good, next year is going to be very good. If this year was bad, next year everything will be Shem Yirachem. If you saw my lecture, they just posted on my website and on Torah Anytime that we did in Beit Gabriel 2 weeks ago. If you didn't do it, please watch it. It's called The Future of the World and the Jewish People. Baruch Hashem, I already got a lot of response on that, so then I know that it came to be a good lecture. Based on the response, you know how good the lecture was. If you see a lot of response and emails, it shows that Baruch Hashem, this lecture did the job. So please, okay, now. What does it mean, the month of Elul? Elul means Ani le dodi ve dodi li. And we always say it, but not always we understand what it means. Dodi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani le dodi, I am the servant of Hashem. And if I do my job, dodi li, then Hashem is going to serve me in everything I want. I want this, I want that. Hashem is willing to serve me. Why? Because I paid my dues first. Why wouldn't Hashem help me? That's obviously his interest, to help us out. We said in Tehilim, Shir la ma'alot esa enai le'arim, in the middle of the mizmor we say, Hashem tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Hashem is your shadow. Why? Because the shadow always behaves like the body. You walk, shadow moves with you. You lift your arm, you see a little person on you on the floor, like you, identical. So that means Hashem is like your shadow. Your good is good with you. Your bad, remember what Parashat Bechukotai said, Im tilchu imi bekeri, af ani elech imchem sheva kechatotechem. I'm going to go 7 times worse against you. Why? Because you're doing bad with me, I have to do much worse with you. Measure, for good or for bad, chas v'shalom. As we entering Chodesh Elul, the parasha hint right away about the subject of Chodesh Elul. How does it start? Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. What's the hint? It means you have to make a base din, and you have to make police, and the police arrest people who mechalel Shabbat, people who murder, people who stole. Today, Mechalel Shabbat walking free on the street. But in the time of the Torah, somebody was Mechalel Shabbat, 2 witnesses complained against him, they arrest him right away. they wouldn't be able to continue to walk or to open his store next Shabbat. It will be one mistake and that will be the end of it. He won't have a second opportunity to repeat that mistake. So the shotrim arrest him, the judges brings him into justice. But the hint about this pasuk is in the body of the person, he has gates. Gates, what does it mean gates? Entrances. The mouth, the eyes, the ears, the nose. Be very careful what goes in and out. Shoftim v'shotrim b'chol sha'arecha. Put policemen and be a judge of yourself. What comes inside your body, what goes out. Be very careful what you look at, because it goes in and there's no way to get it out. What do you hear? What do you say? What goes into your mouth? Kosher, not kosher. Now it's the time. People who are what we call today modern, which means half and half, they do what's easy for them and the other they don't want to do. So we found a very nice word, a pleasant word that it's not so disturbing, modern, modern Orthodox. I hate this word very much because it's a scam. There's nothing like this modern religious and primitive religious. It doesn't work that way. The religion has only one face. It was always the same truth from the time Hashem gave us the Torah until this minute. Hashem never gave us any hint that now we can be more lenient. If any, with what's going on today in the world, we have to be much more strict than before, not more lenient. So all these people who does some, and some they ignore, now it's the time, Chodesh Elul, to correct. Still not late. If your Shabbat was not so strict, you have another 4 or 5 Shabbatot until Rosh Hashanah, which is the judgment day. Show Hashem that you do your best. Everything goes on after the end. After the end, what everybody remembers, it's what was the end. If a student comes to the year and he learns 90% of the year, he wasn't such a good student. But the last month, he's in 8th grade, he was a star of the yeshiva. When they have to recommend him to the next yeshiva, they will remember the last month, not the other 9. Why? This is what he is right now. Same thing Baal Tshuva. There's halacha, we cannot remind the Baal Tshuva what he used to be. Why? It's irrelevant. What is he today? Doesn't matter what he was then. If you have doubts about what I say, I want to remind you that Yehoshua ben Nun, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot put one of his 2 sons to inherit his place. The sons of Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't take his place. Who takes his place? Yehoshua ben Nun. His student, his talmid, his servant. What's the reason Yehoshua ben Nun is taking his place? One reason, he never moved an inch from Moshe Rabbeinu all his life. He was attached to him, followed him, he was faithful to him. One reason, believe it or not, he was cleaning the synagogue. When they daven, everybody goes, leave their tissue. In the old days, nobody dared to blow his nose and leave the tissue on the table and wait for the gavai to come clean it. People had manners. But still, you have to move the chairs, the tables, you know, make sure the air condition is working in the desert over there. They had anane kavod, you know. That was the air condition, not a joke. The anane kavod was cooling the heat of the desert for 40 years. That's one of the miracles of the 7 anane kavod. Cleaning the laundry, doing the clothes. 40 years they didn't have to change their clothes. Today, every week we're trying to get something new to wear. There's a lot of Shechianu during the year just about the new clothing. Why? A person is so empty in this generation that he's always looking for something to make him happy. A person that is full spiritually, nothing in this materialistic life can excite him. Nothing. Nothing should make any impression on him. The more empty he is, the more he depends on materialistic things to make him happy, which is a false happiness. It's an illusion. And it's also temporary. One day, 1 week, and it's over. Spiritual happiness, it's something nobody can kill. It stays forever in a person. materialistic happiness is all temporary. As you can see, the more you run after it, the more disappointed you are when the pleasure is over. Get used to it. That's it. It does nothing to you. I just was told last week a story about a very wealthy family, Jewish family. They own a house, who knows, $30 million on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. They have a house in Long Island, also worth millions of dollars. And in 1 year, they moved 4 times. From one mansion to another. They move here, they move to Connecticut, they move back to Manhattan, they move to a different place in Manhattan. What is it, if not mental disease, mental sicknesses, that a person has? What is it? How long does it take for a person to get used to a new mansion? Normally, it would take him 6 months of false happiness, no? 6 months, a person will get excited if he moves to a new house. By then, they are so empty, they need every 2-3 months something new. Doesn't matter that it costs $100,000 every move, again, and to move here and to move there, change the address, so much headache. This is all out of emptiness. So Shoftim v'Shotrim titen lecha v'chol sha'arecha. Yehoshua ben Nun took the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, and who was his wife? Rachav. Rachav. The Torah testified that Rachav was a prostitute. One of the most beautiful women ever lived. There are 4 ladies in the creation. Nobody can be pretty like them. One of them is Rachav. Goya. Can you believe this? The leader that inherited the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. Just the fact that he took the place of the greatest person ever lived, it has to be somebody great, no? So one of the greatest people in the history, who did he end up marrying? A convert and an ex-prostitute. What does it tell us? Why Hashem told us this story in the Torah? To embarrass him? To put a sign on him? No, it's an honor. Today, the children of Yehoshua ben Nun would not be accepted in any yeshiva. Not in Israel and not in New York. Who's your mother? Fill up the application. Rachav. Where is she from? What's her job, profession? They begin to make phone calls. Oh, we know. Hey, sir, Yehoshua, Rabbi ben Nun, we very said to inform you that the yeshiva is full. We're not accepting any new applications. Also, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't be accepted in any yeshiva. Rabbi Meir Baal Hanes wouldn't be accepted. And many others. The list is very good. Very, very long. No? It's very interesting how in this generation everything is the opposite of what it should be. Instead of respecting Baalei Tshuva and bow down to them, people put them down. It's a Baal Tshuva. You wish to be near him in Olam Haba. That's what the Chazal says. Chazal were not Baalei Tshuva. They were full from birth. Chazal, most of them, almost all of them, did not make one sin in their whole life. It's not people like us that every hour we make a new sin. All their life, not one sin, I promise you. Read the Gemara about their life. You see what kind of people we are talking about. And what did they say? Bemakom שבעלי תשובה עומדים, אין צדיקים גמורים עומדים. In a place where the בעלי תשובה is standing, that means in the eyes of Hashem, in this world, in the next world, doesn't matter, in the eyes of Hashem. From birth can never reach that place. Why? If the בעל תשובה does a quarter mitzvot than the from birth, why the from birth cannot be higher than him? Of course, there's always an exception to the rule. Let's not generalize. But what the Torah wanted to teach us is that if you take a person that tasted from the sin and it was sweet in his mouth and he gave it up, automatically his level is a billion times greater than someone who doesn't know what the sin is. Because the nature of the person is, once he tasted it, it's almost impossible to make him not take it again. And that's why in the religious world, in certain areas, we are very closed-minded. Why? Because there is no permission to be open-minded in certain places. For instance, what you're going to show your children. If you be open-minded and you give them free access to the internet or to television and to go to every house they want to go, in less than 2 weeks you destroy them. You'll never be able to save their soul anymore. Once they saw what they saw, finished. Cannot make them learn, you cannot make them behave anymore. Age 14, 15, they kick you, throw you out of the window, they leave the house, you see them on the street with cigarettes and drugs. Why? You were very modern, open-minded. One guy once told me, you, the religious people, are very, very primitive and close-minded. You close your kids like this, they don't see anything. One day they grow up, they see the world, they get shocked. So I told him, are you open-minded? You let your son see everything? He said, yeah. I let him see everything. I recommend him what I think he should do. And it's his free choice. Whatever he wants to do, it's his life. You agree with him or not? Huh? What do you think? So I told him, I have an idea for you. There's a place in a village, club for men only. Excuse me. I want you to take your 5-year-old boy over there with you that night. They have a party over there. I want you to take him to see what's going on over there. So he looked at me like this. He said, you crazy? How you dare to talk to me like this? I say, you're a hypocrite. You're telling me that I'm close-minded? You are close-minded. Why don't you let your son see that? Give him some drugs to taste. Maybe he would like it. Don't exaggerate, he said. So, now it's a question of opinion. Where is the red line? According to your opinion, the red line is that club and the drugs. According to me, it's way before that. The red line is much, much, much further. That's all the difference. I go not by my opinion, I go what Hashem told me, and you go with what you think is right. And the statistics show which kids are more successful when it comes to behaving and things. Here, that's the music from the club. The screen. The Torah continues. The parasha starts like this. Make sure never to twist the justice. Be a fair witness. Do not receive any bribe. Follow justice always. Search for justice. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Leman tichye. That you should live. I always use this example when it comes to different content. If you ask a person today, what's life? Define what life. What people would say, driving a car, getting up in the morning, eating breakfast, having a wife, having children, have a hobby, sports, clubs, vacations, work, money, to be rich, to buy nice jewelry. That's what most people would say, no? Ask 99.9% of the people in the world what life is. Financial success. That's what everybody runs after. Once in a while you see a weirdo that doesn't care about money. They look at him like he's crazy. Take him to the psychiatrist. Mr. Cohen, I suggest you take your son to the psychiatrist. What's wrong with this guy? He wants to be a hippie in India over there in a mountain. He doesn't care about all you mentioned that you're about to leave him. Once in a while you see people like this. The Torah says in few places, and let's not be blind. You want to be alive? Not what you think it's life. You want to be alive? This is what I call life. Who's speaking? Hashem. You want to be life according to my opinion, what life is, or according to society? Choose. Who do you think know better what life is? According to society, what they call life is death. It's a spiritual cancer, complete death. According to me, what is life? In one place it says, if you follow my mitzvot, my ways, etc., etc., what's going to be? You should live. Just last parasha. For you and your children should live forever. Le'olam, it says. I don't know if you pay attention to the last parasha that we read. Parashat Re'eh, it says clearly, somebody asks you, how do you know there is Olam Haba? Where does it say it in the Torah? People say, such an important subject and Hashem didn't write it in the Torah? Of course he did, in few places. In one place in the previous parasha. What did he say in the previous parasha? La'akivcha ba'acharitecha. I'm going to reward you in your end. Which is next life. Where is the end? We see that nobody gets the reward in this life. Some people died of cancer, some people are in poverty, all kinds of sicknesses, old people are suffering, they cannot walk, they cannot see anymore. So where is the reward that Hashem promised to the righteous Jews? We never found anybody gets the reward here. The opposite, the Torah said the reward is not in this life. Torah says, and Hashem say, I will reward you in your end. La'atifcha ba'acharitecha. So that's a clear sign in the Torah for Olam Haba. But it's even better in last parasha, parashat Re'eh. What does it say? Lecha, la'atifcha, lecha ulevanecha ad olam. For you and your children for eternity. What is it eternity if not Olam Haba? If we live here 70 years, that's eternity. The Torah says life in this place, it's a blink of the eye. Keheref ayin. Oh, it's over. The Torah says when the people die, some of them are righteous, some of them are wicked. After the person dies and his tribe begins, Hashem takes him to see his previous life. He lived 80 years here. He show him his life. If he was a tzaddik, his life looked like a very, very high mountain. And he's very impressed, the tzaddik. He said to Hashem, wow, I was able to cross, to pass such a mountain? What an achievement. And then he takes the wicked people and he showed them the previous life, kechut ha-se'ara, very, very thin. And they say, what? We couldn't pass such a hill? So it's nothing. Why? Because this is it. To make it sweeter. To appreciate your achievement. To see, oh, how lucky I was. Look what I just passed. So what is leman tichyeh that you should live? If you be an honest and decent person. And this is a cancer in the religious society today. Almost every person with a yarmulke doesn't follow this instruction. Almost with no exception. You can count on one hand in every area how many people are 100% righteous, strict, with clean hands. No interest, no faking, no cheating on the application, not stealing from the government, not fooling the authorities. Very, very little. And that's why we suffer so much. Because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very precise. Very precise. Oh, it's 100% honest, or it's only 50% honest. 50% honest means it's not an honest person. Out of 100 deals, 50 of them he cheated his customer. It's a crook. And sometimes a person gets used to this kind of lifestyle. He doesn't feel that he's Rasha. He built a synagogue. There's no blessing in this synagogue. Why? All the money is stolen. His children doesn't want to learn Torah. He goes crazy. Why? I learn Torah. I get them their best education. Why? Why are you doing this to me, Hashem? No, you did it to yourself. The tuition you pay for them, it's all stolen. Cannot be blessing. The food you eat is stolen. The matzah you eat on Leila Seder, it's stolen. It doesn't count a mitzvah for you. You come, you buy arba'at aminim, you go around like this. Hoshana, Hoshana, all week. Nobody Moshia. Why? Stolen. The Torah says, lachem. You have to own it. You didn't own it. Lulav ha-gazul lo yotze lidei chova. Every second you have an obligation to return the stolen good. Since you stole it, sometimes you don't even know who you stole it from. This is how the parasha of Rosh Chodesh Elul begins. The beginning of Elul, parashat Shoftim. Shotrim v'shoftim, Elul arrived. Police, court, wake up. I told my guests on Shabbat, we have Baruch Hashem shul in my house, so we pray on Shabbat. And we made the Birkat Rosh Chodesh. We announced Rosh Chodesh Elul on Thursday and Friday, 2 days. Nobody cared. We announced Elul, you know, everyone is standing, smiling, you know, enjoying the air condition, Baruch Hashem. Just one generation ago, when they made an announcement, Elul arrived, the rabbi make the bracha, he turns around, half of the shul disappear. Where are they? On the floor. Fainted. Fear from Hashem's justice, punishment. Today it became a crime to speak about the punishment of Hashem. If you want to be a not successful speaker, mention in your lecture that Hashem has also punishment. Finished. Nobody wants to hear you anymore. Only here and there some that really are true followers of Hashem, that they want to know the good with the bad. Most people are fakers. They only want to hear good things. One guy spoke to me last week. The poor guy married a Goya, and he has 2 children. The Goya went through a conservative conversion, wasting time and money. Now they got divorced, of course, like most of these marriages ended up very bitter. And the guy has very bad relationship with his kids. And now, finally opened up his eyes to see maybe Hashem is doing it to him. So I asked him, can I tell you the truth without you getting offended? Because it's very painful what I'm going to tell you. So I asked him, are you a person that can handle the truth? Or I should just tell you nice things? Mamash like this. So he told me, you can tell me the truth. I know it's going to kill me, but I'd rather hear the truth. So I told him that his children are not his children. The Torah doesn't lie. They go in. It has nothing to do with it. I meant good. I didn't want him to kill himself so much because the kids giving him hell. Don't worry, they're not your kids. And of course what? He was supposed to meet with me and he disappeared. Why? The truth is a killer. Who wants to meet with a doctor that tells him what really he has? People like to hear nice things. Text to Advil, everything will be fine. That's what people want. You know, in the old days, the Rambam speak about 900 years ago almost, about people who worship idols. Which idol? What was the popular idols? The sun, the moon, and the stars. This was the most popular gods of the people. Everywhere. You see cults, thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of people having ceremonies, bowing down to the sun, making sacrifices, having a big altar, bringing sheep, slaughter them, sacrifice them. Some of them used to take their babies. Can you believe this? A 1-year-old baby, and throw him like this into the fire. That's what used to take place. In the time of Abraham Avinu and later. So, all the poskim, when they speak about wicked Jews, when they want to define a wicked Jew, all the poskim, in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, the Rishonim, the Gemara, in Masechet Sanhedrin, is full of expressions like this. Who do they use as a wicked Jew? What's the expression of a person that betrayed Hashem? What do they say? What do they use? Mechalel Shabbat ve'oved kochavim. Always go together, like a husband and wife. A mechalel Shabbos and somebody who worship idols. Why it goes together? Because they have the exact same judgment, the same punishment, the same status in the halacha. Both of them has no share to the world to come. Both of them excluded themselves out of the Jewish nation. Both of them rebel against Hashem. Both of them violated the covenant, the eternal covenant of Hashem. That's why the halacha always used both of them as goyim, Hashem irachem. Mamash like this. And I want to ask you a question, let's be honest. Who is better? Our friends, cousins, prime minister, president of Israel today? or those goyim who used to bow down to the sun and the moon? Who is better? Who is more righteous? Let's be honest. Who do you think is more righteous? The Prime Minister of Israel? With his beautiful tie and suit? And beautiful speeches? Or those goyim who used to take their babies and throw them to the fire and bow down to the sun? Who is worse? Here is the answer.
We have tissue here, maybe? Tissue. Can you turn the screen? Thank you.
The answer is, of course, those idols worshippers are much better than us. Of course, what's the question, Bechlal? They had one critical mistake, not intentional mistake. They didn't have Torah. They knew somebody made the world. They were searching for God constantly. Now I want to ask you a question. An intelligent person 3,000 years ago that never heard about the Torah, a goy in Zimbabwe, this goy, he doesn't have anything to read him. Nothing. He doesn't have a book. So he's searching for God. What would be more logical that God is that big ball of fire in Shamayim? Nobody knows who's God. We know that Hashem doesn't have a shape and an image because we have the Torah. If we didn't have the Torah, of course, we would imagine Hashem like a big light or a big ball of fire. Right or wrong? What do you think? These goyim, they were very foolish in one way, but in the other hand, we have to clap for them. Why? They were searching for God. They didn't know who he is. They thought they'll make him happy by sacrificing their children. If God would come to us and say, I want you to prove to me that you tzaddik like Abraham Avinu. Take your one-year-old baby and throw him into the fire. For me. Would we do it? Probably you wouldn't be able to do it. We wouldn't. It would be very difficult for us. And if we would do it, we would be depressed for 30 years. Leave me alone, I'm finished. Come to Minyan. I can't. If you know what happened to me, you wouldn't call me to come to Shul. Depressed for 30 years, right? This goyim used to come, they want to be righteous in the eyes of God. So they did that. They were wrong, not intentionally. But what we have to look at, what are they willing to sacrifice to search for the creator of the world? And we have the Torah in our hand. And most of us never read it once in their life. Once in their life, not once in their life, from A to Z, to see what Hashem wants from us right away. Chodesh Elul, this is what it says. Ani ledodi vedodi li. Ani alef. Ledodi lamed. Vedodi vav. Li lamed Elul. Rashi Tevot Elul. Abbreviations Elul. Ani finish with Yud. Ledodi finish with Yud. Vedodi finish with Yud. Li finish with Yud. Yud. 40 days. From Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, 40 days you can save not only your previous year, not only your entire life, not only your future year or future years. You can save your eternity. That's what the Gemara says in many, many places. Yesh Adam kone olamo berega echad. One good move, and everything turned around. Your direction, until now, Hashem Erachem, what you used to be. One great mitzvah you did, everything turned around. Remember, the mitzvot doesn't go by quantity. It goes by the quality of the mitzvot. Sometimes one mitzvah equals like 1,000. Sometimes one mitzvah equals like 100 million mitzvot. Give me an example. Which mitzvah equal like 100 million times putting tefillin? What mitzvah eventually, I highlight the word eventually, takes time, but eventually he would give you more reward than putting tefillin 100 times, 1,000 times. Saving one secular Jew and make him religious. One. That's it. You're set for life. Why? He will generate for you, him and his children and grandchildren until the end of the world, will generate more mitzvot than anything you can think of for you. And sometimes it's $1. Just have to give him a disc. And nobody likes to do it. It's hard to believe. Nobody likes to do it. You beg people. What do they do? I have to do this, I have to do that. I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid he's going to get angry. What's the worst can happen? He's going to tell you, leave me alone, I'm not interested. What can happen? But I had one guy, the last lecture in Beit Gavriel, he came special to the lecture because he's getting married. I think by now he got married already, I don't know. He said, I want to give out every one of my guests a DVD. They're not Shomer Mitzvot. When will I be able to get all of them in one night? In my wedding. In his wedding. He's thinking to go out and give DVDs. That's what Hashem loves. You are a real faithful son. You care about my other sons? You care about your brothers? I love you. You don't care about them? I don't care about you. Very simple. You can scream to me until tomorrow. Why should I help you? Why should I help you? How many times I told you in the Torah, give your life for the rest of Israel, Klal Israel? You're egoistic. Measure for measure. I'm egoistic with you. Right or wrong? If a father sees that one brother is cruel to the other brother, and a minute later he comes to the father and he wants money. He wants to give him money or he wants to give him a smack? Why he likes to give him a smack? Because he just saw what he did to another Jew. He ignored him. The Jew was screaming. The Chilonim are screaming for help. I spoke to my friend in Israel. We used to do a lot of kiruv together. One of the greatest Jews I know, Shimon Navarro is named. Now he lives in Telstone. We used to make seminars. So he stuck to kiruv. He tried all kinds of things, 10 years. Hashem showing my friend, your mission in life is to save souls. Don't run making parnasa. Stay poor, it's better. Let's make people more religious. So he started now to go to Tel Aviv. Starting to go. So I told him, now when they hate the religious people so much in Israel because of the media, how do you even have a chance to go there? I said, no, you'll be surprised. It's only for the first minute or two that they anti. Once you begin to talk, they'll give their heart to talk to you. Why? The soul is a Jewish soul. What do you think? The beginning, you're only approaching the dirt from the outside. Once you drill through the dirt, you go inside the soul. He's going to give you his life. Why? He knows right away. His soul right away woke up to life. Right away. There are two kinds of Jews. There are Jews who match themselves to the Torah. The Torah says you should not steal. I love to steal. I'm fighting with myself not to steal. I know it's against me. I'm losing. I'm not winning. You have desire to steal. That's your correction in life. That's your test. So they match themselves to the Torah. The Torah says to keep Shabbat. In Shabbat, they may have a lot of business if they open the store, but they see the Torah say you should not open your store. So they match their life to the Torah's obligation. That's a righteous Jew. However, there's the other kind of Jews. Jews that match the Torah to their wishes. He wants one thing, he's beginning to twist the Torah left and right to back him up. Oh, of course, he proves from here and he proves from there. First, he made up his mind that he wants to destroy that person. Now he's going to bring all the sources. to help him in his mission. Everything you tell him, he's going to find you something. That's called Naval Birshut HaTorah. Naval Birshut HaTorah. He used the Torah for his own needs. Also, people that they want to become rabbis. That's their mission. Since they're 16 already, I have to be a rabbi. Why? It's a very good business. It's a dream. He thinks it's a good business. It's Gehenom in this life. But the Pirkei Avot say, Snet HaRabanut. Don't run after the title of a rabbi. A rabbi is a servant of the public. Day, night, emergencies, 2 o'clock at night. A lot of people with depression are calling. Who they gonna call? They have to call somebody that will not hang up the phone on them. And sometimes it takes an hour, 2 hours, sometimes it's every 2 hours. There's a lot of tests to be a rabbi. And in the end, if you really look around, the rabbis are not so wealthy. They are the last in the list. The last. But he has an idea. I'm gonna be ahead of a big shul. I'm gonna have a nice salary. I'll be in control. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that and I'll be famous. This is called kardom. He takes the Torah and like a shovel, digging to places that he wants to get. Somebody like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand. All this show off, the long kilt and the special hat, and he has this and he has that, he's gonna die in here, certain area, with his alpha just for the show off. Why? Pride is a very big cancer, very big cancer. And you go, I told you once a story that one big rav, that knows all, every book you can think of. He said that he used to have a habit. He was poor, but every wedding in Israel, he used to take a special taxi, private driver, to take him to the wedding and return him back. And all his money went on those cabs to go to the weddings. Why? Because they call his name. The big rav, such and such, is welcome for the first bracha. Everybody rise. That 2 minutes of glory made his ear. Poor, doesn't have what to feed his children. The little that he has, he spends on a special taxi in Israel. It's very, very expensive. Only rich people can afford to have a private taxi to take you an hour away. Very expensive. Why? You cannot live without it. Now Baruch Hashem, when he came out of that problem, he's laughing about it. He himself told about himself that that's how it used to be. Can you believe such a thing? It's a mental disease, sickness. Reuven hated Shimon and Levi. A true story, it happened in Israel. Tell me what you think. So Reuven decided to make fun at them. Now he cannot come and laugh at them like this in public. So he decided to do it in a very clever way. Levi has a daughter, 19 years old. Shimon is 21 years old. So he told Shimon, I set you up in the best shiduch. Who is the shiduch? This address, they're waiting for you, 8 o'clock in the evening. Go over there. He hates both of them, but they don't know each other, Shimon and Levi. But he said, are you sure they want me? Yeah, I showed them your picture. I told them everything about you. It's all set. He takes the address. He comes to the house of Levi. He knocks on the door. Levi is an important person. And his daughter is a princess of the area. Everybody wants to marry her. And him, you know, not exactly would dream to go on a shidduch with her. It's all for the fun, to make fun. So Levi knocks on the door. Shimon knocks on the door. Levi opens the door. Can I help you? Yes. Comes with a flower, you know. He said, we didn't order any flowers. He said, no, I came for the shidduch. I said, shidduch? Which shidduch? With your daughter. I didn't know that my daughter had shidduch today. Nobody spoke to me about this. Sure? Yes? Who sent you here? Tell me. Say, this guy named Shimon. He said, now I begin to understand. He hates me very much. He will never get my daughter a shidduch. So the guy said, no, he also ate me. That's why I was very surprised that he set me up on the shiluch. So the guy, this rabbi, Levi, felt bad for him that he came from far away. He said, okay, why don't you come in and have a drink, something? So he sits inside. They begin to talk. Two Jews, what do they talk about? Divrei Torah. He sees that this guy, Shimon, is a Talmid Chacham. Machine gun. Be'mefik margaliot. Begins to like him by the minute. Then he says, you know what? Maybe it's from Hashem. Let me call my daughter. You know, I bring her out. You talk to her a few minutes. Perfect shiduch. Now they got engaged. Guess what? Reuven comes to ask $10,000 shadchanut. For being a shadchan. Not a joke. Real story. So they came to the Rav. Ledin Torah. If you be the Rav, what would you give him? Would you give him shtei stirot and send him out of the window? Or you don't have to mix your feeling? He deserves nei shadchanut. What do you think?
Huh?
Does it go by his intention or what came out of it? Huh? What do you say?
What came out of it?
So the rabbi said, not only doesn't get a penny, should hang up his signs all over the street for people to know what he did. Malbit nechavero barabim. He did not get a penny. If you came to kill a person and you stabbed him in some place, and in the end, thanks to that stabbing, all of a sudden you cure him in something else, you don't deserve any money for the cure. One woman went on a surgery. She had one kidney that didn't work. So they had to take a kidney from her husband and transplant the kidney to her. So when they came to remove the kidney from her husband, they removed their own kidney. The other side. Doctors, they can make mistakes sometimes. After they removed the kidney and they do all the tests, they checked that that kidney had cancer in it, the one that they removed. Real story in Israel, a few years ago. So basically, if the doctor would not remove that kidney, in 3-4 months, this person will die. And they will never know, because he didn't come to check for cancer. By the time he will find out, it will be the end of it. Now they sue the doctor for millions of dollars for removing their own kidney. And the doctor came and said, what is this? I saved their life. They're suing me. Is it malpractice or no? What do you think? The doctor not only doesn't want to pay the millions, he wants $25,000 for the surgery. So what do you think? The answer after the lecture. I'll keep you waiting. Speaking about Shiduchim, in Israel, two very important business people were sitting in a lobby of a fancy hotel in Yerushalayim doing business with diamonds. One guy broke with diamonds, the guy brought a lot of money. When he opened up the merchandise, he begins to check. They sit in a lobby, you know, that's how they do business in Yerushalayim, in a lobby. All of a sudden, siren. That was the time they used to shot Scud missiles. Sirens, everybody runs to the shelter, police, sirens, you know. Everybody gets very nervous. They have, I don't know, half a minute to run. Everybody ran. The guy with the diamonds took the diamonds with him. But the guy with the money, he put it for a second on the floor with the bag. With all the noise, he forgot about it. $15,000 in cash inside the bag. After 10 minutes, when there was false alarm and everything, they came out, they go back to the table. And I said, wait a minute, what? I gave you the money. He said, no. Where is the money? Oh, money is gone. They go all over the hotel, the lobby, they wait looking for the money, asking people, nobody. He leaves his card to the lobby manager, to the hotel manager. He says, well, if somebody, let's hope a religious guy found the money and he wants to return it. After all, he was in the bag, there's a sign. So maybe somebody will return the money. And he went home. 3 days later, get a phone call. Hello, Mr. Such and Such, yes? I found a bag with $15,000 that apparently belonged to you. I returned to the hotel, to the manager, and he said to me that you're the one and you left your information and I'm calling you, I want to return it to you. That was 3 days after. So the guy told him, I'm very sorry, I'm very happy that you called, Baruch Hashem, you're tzaddik, but already I gave up the money. I was mochel on the money. Tiashti, give up. The halacha says, if a person gives up, the one who finds it, it's his. I didn't believe somebody will return me the money. I cannot take it from you. It will not be fair. So the guy said, I'm very sorry. I'm not touching somebody else's money. It's your money. I know it's your money. I want to return it to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, okay, I'm coming to you. I have your address. He comes to his house. 3 hours, they argue in the house. Then, after the other guy is stubborn, he said, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. The guy that lost the money. You have a son? Yes. How old? 22. Perfect. I have a daughter, 20 years old. He calls his daughter, Bora! Father, see her, what do you think? You think she could be a good match to your son? Perfect match. They went out, they gave them the money. They got married. Real story. In Israel. What you see? Nobody ever lose by doing what Hashem wants him to do. Vasita yashar v'atov b'enei Hashem. Do what good in Hashem's eyes, not in your eye. ועשית הישר והטוב בעיני השם. You know, speaking about diamonds, two biggest Jewish diamond dealers in the world, probably no one of them, decided to meet at 6 o'clock in one of their house. The seller has a lot of merchandise to sell. The other buyer is from Belgium. It's not from Israel. They made a meeting at 6 p.m. tomorrow in the seller's house. The seller is a very rich guy. He has a big mansion in Israel somewhere. And the other guy from Belgium show up, you know, say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be there at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, somebody knock on the door. The wife of the seller, she open up the door. She see somebody dressed very bad, you know. Come to collect. Tzedakah. She say, I'm sorry, you came in a very, very bad time. My husband is now busy. Please do not come today. Come in another time. Say, no, I came from far away, look at the heat outside, look at me, maybe you give me a glass of water. She said, please, please understand me, today it's not a good time, goodbye. The husband is waiting, 7:15, he said, cannot be. We made an appointment at 6, it doesn't show up, the buyer. They call up his wife, she said, I'm very sorry, I don't understand. My husband left the house more than 2 hours ago. You're making me very nervous. He was on the way to meet with you. She's in a hotel somewhere in Israel. They call his cellular, no answer. 8 o'clock. 8:30, they call the house again. He picked up the phone. He said, hey, I'm waiting for you from 6 o'clock. So I'm very, very sorry. I'm very upset at you. I showed up in your house at 6 o'clock, and your wife threw me out like a dog. She thought I came to collect tzedakah. Very rich, she didn't expect him to dress very casual clothes. So she thought it's another beggar coming to ask for donation. They threw him out like a dog. More than $10 million her husband lost on that deal. So I'm not coming back to you, I don't want to deal with you. For the insult. This, because Hashem wanted to show them in this life how much you lose by throwing the poor person without anything by the door. Some will not have an opportunity in this life to see, only when they get over there. But it's going to be too late to correct. Miriam, I'm not here. Once Rabbi Aderet said that there's one guy, when the Meshulachim knock on his door, he comes from the window and says, I'm not here today. Today I'm not here. He doesn't have anybody to come live for him. So he comes from the window, I'm not here. A person doesn't see his negative. He's very sharp seeing other people negative, but he doesn't see his. That's the nature of a person. En adam roe negai atzmo. If a person is in a key position, he's an officer in a court, he's working in a city, in town hall, people need him. He is very important to get a pass, to get permits, to build. You know, the people, they maybe even make $30,000-$40,000 a year, but they can save you millions of dollars. Usually these are the people who receive the bribe. Why? The city doesn't pay them that much money. And they get so much offers. Get me this permit, $500,000. Give me a bank account, I wire you the money. You make $30,000 a year, somebody offer him $500,000 in 1 minute just to sign a paper. It's very hard test. That's what the Torah says. To be careful from Shochat. Why do you think Hashem said that Kohen Gadol cannot marry a divorcee and a woman and a widow? What is the problem? First, you know, regular Kohen, he cannot marry to a divorced woman. But a widow, it's no problem. Once he becomes Kohen Gadol, it's the highest level, he is the one who goes to Kodesh HaKodashim in Bet HaMikdash. Now, not only is not allowed to marry a divorced woman, not even a widow. Why? Why? What do you think? Why Hashem cares that the Kohen Gadol is going to marry a widow? What's the problem? If Yoshua married Rahab, why Kohen Gadol cannot marry a widow? A kosher widow that had only one husband? Or even a divorced woman that she was married for 10 years, she couldn't have kids, her husband divorced her. She's righteous. She didn't sin. What's the problem? Guess what? You won't believe the answer. The answer is because maybe the Kohen Gadol, who we are talking here about, the greatest person in the whole world, not only in Israel, in the whole world, they prepare him all year for that minute or two that he goes inside Kodesh HaKodashim. He's the entire fortune of the nation of Israel depend on his prayer. They tie his leg with a rope because if he may think something wrong inside, he falls and dies. That's how holy it is. And they pull the rope out because nobody can enter there. So since they cannot enter, they pull his body out. This is who we're talking here about. And Hashem said, maybe he would love a married woman. He see a beautiful married woman in one of the weddings, or I don't know where, and he likes her. Obviously, he cannot cheat on her husband with her. So he's going inside Kodesh HaKodashim. He has such a power, he's going to pray that this person will die, that he can marry his wife. That's why Hashem said, you cannot touch a divorced woman, you cannot touch a widow. You never harm any other person. Why? The desire of a person to the ladies is so strong that even Kohen Gadol has no guarantee to stay clean. What are we going to say in this generation? You understand what's going on here? Kohen Gadol, speaking to Hashem, he may be like the married woman, he has his own wife. No, he wants another wife. He must have a wife, you know. Some of them have extra wife in case something happened to his wife right away, gets married, not to stay alone. Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says story in Masechet Gittin. Mar Ukva came to ask Rabbi Elazar that there is one Jew that disturbs him and doesn't let him learn Torah. Every time he comes to learn Torah, that Jew comes and bothers him. He gives him hard time. So he asks him, am I allowed to turn him into the Goyim, to the Romans, to the police? And obviously, if I'm gonna turn him in from what he's doing, he knew something about him that they're going to kill him. Why am I telling you this story? Let's see who is clever here. What do we learn from this story? By the way, the answer was no. The Rav told him, you're not allowed to turn him into the goyim. Knowing they're gonna kill him, you're not allowed. But what are we learning from this story? Who asked the question? One of the important Rabbanim on the Talmud. Everyone that his name is mentioned in the Talmud could be mechaye metim. He knew enough secrets in Kabbalah to revive a person's dead, to bring his soul back into his body. That's how great they were. If not, his name is not mentioned in the Talmud. How to believe? So he comes to ask Rabbi Eliezer, the big Rabbi Eliezer. What's the answer? No. Why am I telling you this story? Everything has deepness in it. What are we learning from this story? That according to the Hava Amina in the Gemara, Hava Amina means a possibility. When someone asks a question, that means it was possible. Otherwise, you wouldn't dare to ask this question, right? That means even though the answer is no, according to one of the greatest rabbi in the world, he wasn't sure. Maybe you were allowed to turn him in. Why? It's disturbing a person that learns Torah. So what are we learning from here? How dangerous it is to play with fire that you disturb a person that sits and learns Torah. Sometimes you have a delegation within a person. If you find out that that person is learning Torah, sitting in yeshiva and learn Torah serious, maybe you're right. But how can you play with fire? Maybe you're right. Maybe you have a point. Maybe he makes noise at night when he learns Torah. Maybe he sings when he learns Mara at 12 o'clock at night. Hard for you to fall asleep. Maybe his air condition is staying until late and it's hard for you to sleep. Yeah, you have a case. But you cannot treat a Jew that learns Torah like a Jew that doesn't learn Torah. It's two different sections completely. Why? What's the greatness of those who learn Torah? Every Jew who learns Torah, all of us owe him our life. Even if we don't know him. A Jew that learns Torah knock on your door, you have to treat him like almost like he's God. Why? The whole world exists thanks to him. Where does it say it in the Torah? Hashem says. If Hashem didn't say, well, I'm making the rules. Im lo briti yomam v'layla. Chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If not my covenant that Jews are learning Torah around the clock, the world cannot remain exist 1 second. Destroyed immediately. What keeps the world going? The learning of the Torah. Chacham Ben Zion Abba Shaul, Zecher Tzadik Nivracha, on his way to the yeshiva, he saw one avrech, a guy that learns in the yeshiva, read an ad on the wall. So Ben Zion Abba Shaul, he saw the guy looking at the ad on the wall. So he ran to him, he grabbed him, run, run, after me, quick, run. The guy says, what happened, Rabbi? What happened? Run, run, there's no time for questions. They run to the yeshiva, he opened the Gemara, he puts it by him, see, learn. So the guy asked, Rabbi, I got nervous, I thought something happened. He said, sure something happened. You have big responsibility for the world. Didn't you read in the Torah that thanks to you the world exists? How do you have time to read ads on the wall? You have responsibility. Imagine a doctor on a call is going to drink vodka with his friend playing chess. You're on a call now. What do you do now? You have responsibility. You know, when the Jews came to America, the life in America for religious Jew was impossible. Read the book, All for the Boss. We'll encourage you a little bit in Avodat Hashem. Every week, they got fired. It was impossible to find a job without working on Saturday. Why? Saturday was a weekday. It wasn't a weekend. 40, 50, 60 years ago, Shabbat was a working day. Only Sunday was a day off. So the Jews, they start to work on Monday, Friday, said to the boss, tomorrow I cannot come. Why you cannot come tomorrow? It's Shabbat, I'm religious. Oh, very sorry, I need a worker. It's the busiest day now, it's the day before the weekend. People finish the week, They come now, I need a worker. That was the last day. Imagine the life. Every day, every week, a new job. Now, you know, it's very difficult to find a job. So you work 1 week, 2 months you're off. 1 week, 1 month you're off. That's how it was. Many of the Jews gave up. They didn't have what to eat. It was a hard test. Children were upset. There's nothing in the house. Almost pikuach nefesh. So they became goyim. You see the results today, their children and grandchildren. What came out of them? All these Jew-haters, Americans, that sit in the White House and give advice to the president how to destroy Israel even more. Those are descendants of those Jews who came to America. What do you think? You leave Hashem, the results is endless. But why do I tell you this? Listen to this story. You'll never forget this. The Rav Kook, he's the one who told this story. He said there was a Jew who came from Poland to America. He was a specialist, good handyman. He knows how to fix everything. So somebody like him, it's very easy to find a job because he's a professional. But of course, because of the Shabbat, everywhere he goes, 1 week, they throw him out. So he came to a situation that his family was so poor, they cannot pay the rent. Already they don't pay the rent, the landlord is very angry. He gave them a few days to get out. If not, the marshal throw them to the street. So, what happened? Snowing, freezing weather, 0 degrees outside. The landlord threw him with all his little children to the street, without mercy. In the meantime, across the street, there was another building, and the doorman in that building saw a family on the street. Imagine you walk in the street, 1 o'clock at night, you see little Jewish kids freezing in the weather. Well, what are you doing? We have no place to sleep. Just imagine such a thing. Lo aleinu, you should never see such a thing. So the doorman across the street, he had a heart. He felt very bad for them. He said, I wish I had a better place to let you sleep. I don't. I can let you sleep in the basement of this building, but remember, there was no heat, gas heat. You know how they used to have heat? They have charcoals in the building, and fire goes on all day and all night to make hot water and heat for the people in the building. So it's very dirty, black. It's all black. Everything you touch is black. The floor, the walls, your face becomes black. I don't have to tell you the situation. Your clothes is all black. So he let them sleep over there. They threw a few mattresses and they sleep over there. Why? Because they don't want to be mechalel Shabbat. So, now they're sitting like this over there. So the kids, during the day, the kids play on the street. But the kids look like black kids. Why they look black? Because all their face is black. So one rich Jew, non-religious, is walking by. He see black kids speaking Yiddish. I've seen everything. Something like this I still don't see. Come to the kid, speaks to them in Yiddish, he tells that they're Jewish. Why are you black? Because we live over there, we don't have a place to live. Where is your father? I want to speak to him. He comes inside, he see the father sitting there learning Torah. Right away took out from his pocket $500. This is more than 60 years ago. That's like $50,000 today. He comes to the father, he says, go get yourself a normal place to live. The Jew asks him, excuse me, sir, please, no offense. Do you keep Shabbos? So how it looks, no kippah, no nothing, no peot, cut everything. He says, I'm sorry, no. He said, I cannot accept the money from you. How can I accept the money from you? The only reason we are here, because I didn't want to be Mechalel Shabbat. So now I'm going to contradict myself and take money from Mechalel Shabbat. If I'm with Hashem, I'm 100% with Hashem. There's no difference between you and me. I'm a Jew, you a Jew, we have the same obligation. It's a covenant between us and Hashem. The Ashir got very offended, very embarrassed, embarrassed and upset at the same time. Who does he think he is? He comes to his wife, he's angry. Guess what happened to me? I walk in the street, I come to help them out, I give him $500. And the guy throw it back to me and say, I don't want it because you're Mechalel Shabbos. Guess what happened? The wife started to scream and cry. He's right! He's right! When you came to this country, you promised me that we're going to be Mechalel 2-3 Shabbatot and that's it. And now we became rich. You forgot about the Shabbat. I'm eating my heart for years like this. He's right. It's a sign from Hashem. You must now. Now it's the time to become Shomer Shabbat. Go give him the money and tell him I'm becoming Shomer Shabbat. She's fighting with him. He doesn't want. He wants to go play golf with his cigar on Shabbat. How can he live without it? The boy went inside. Very good. Baruch Hashem, we came to this world for this moment. What would we do without that little white ball? So the wife told him, okay, you're not giving up? Give me a get right now. I don't want to be with you. You're not becoming Shomer Shabbat? I want to get divorced right now. He loves his wife. So he says, okay, I'm surrendering. I surrender. From these two family, the Jew that was living in a basement, and that rich Jew, which gave him finally the money and got him out of there, two of the Gdolei Ador of America came out. The biggest rabbi in America came from the one from the basement, and the second one came from the rich guy that became Shomer Shabbat. Why am I telling you this story? If you are devoted to Hashem and you're faithful to Hashem, you have no idea how far your mitzvot can travel. One day you come, you cannot believe. You cannot believe. This Jew, Shoah Hashem, no matter what happened, he keeps Shabbat. Not only he stayed Shomer Shabbat, he saved the soul of that rich guy, and he had a son. His son became one of the Gdolei Ador, both of them. Why? For sure, thanks to that thing. What other than this? I give you another example. The Russians, today I went to a place, Russian convert, became Jewish. So I asked her, where you are from, Russia? She says, Siberia. I started to shake already. Siberia? That's where the Russians used to put all the people on the ice there. It tells that Siberia had another side. Not everything where they put the Jews to die on the ice. They have a place like Moscow. Malls, fancy things. She got angry that I thought that Siberia is Harlem. Moscow. You ever been in Moscow? Siberia is like Moscow. No. You should know. Next time when you hear Siberia, you know Siberia also has clubs there. So anyway, the Russians say everybody must carry ID. If they catch a person without ID, what's the punishment? He goes to Siberia. Not to the clubs. So, now the Jews have a big problem. How are they going to carry the ID on Shabbat? Shabbat, it's Reshut Arabim. Cannot walk with the ID in a pocket. So the rabbi said to the Jews in a shul, we have no choice, it's Pikuach Nefesh. If they're going to catch a Jew without ID, they'll kill him. Therefore, he has to go with the ID in his pocket. One Jew say, what? On Shabbat, I'll carry ID? I'd rather die and not be Mechalel Shabbat. I don't care. That's it. So he didn't carry ID. He walked in the street, and the soldier asked him, excuse me, show us ID, please. And in Shabbat, they were looking for Jews. I'm sorry, I don't have ID. I'm a Jew. I cannot carry ID on Shabbat. Say, I'm sorry. We saw other Jews, they hold an ID. Why don't you have an ID? Get in the car. They put handcuffs on him. They took him inside the police. They took him and his family and sent them to Siberia. few days after the Nazis arrived to Russia, to that place where he was, all the members of the shul were murdered. And he is the only one who survived. And then when the Russian won with the war, they released everybody from Siberia, and he came out with his family, and he survived to make it back to Israel. Everybody died. The only one that showed Hashem, I'm gonna die for your Shabbat, he was supposed to also be dead. That's it. Hashem changed his file. Life. That's called, Yesh Adam Kone Olamo Berega Echad. You have to learn from these heroes, not from all these Jewish losers on the news. Money, money, money. That's the real winners. Those who are willing to give their life for Hashem, for the truth. That's a brave guy. We don't have such guts. We are brave like this. Little thing in a business, whoa, maybe they're going to take my bonus away. He's willing to eat pork. Why? Maybe $1,000 a year he's going to lose. It's practicing, like weight, you know, lifting weight. In first week, it's 5 pounds. A year after, it's 50 pounds. Same thing, emunah. First week, you have a little emunah. Second week, a little better. After 50 years, you have a mountain of emunah. If you walk out on emunah, like everything else in life. Last story for today, and I'll send you home. One son came to his father and told him, Father, I want $10,000 to go to India for 1 month. The father said, what? $10,000? You crazy? I have to sponsor your trips? He said, no. He said, you're not keeping mitzvot. I'm begging you every day to put tefillin. You don't want. Now you want money from me. But you know what? I'm not like you. I'm willing to give you the $10,000 in one condition. If you put tefillin 3 weeks, every day, you call me, I send you the check, $10,000, so whatever you're going to be. I said, Bill, I shook hands, guy's happy. He gave him in the meantime $200-$300 to try, to stop. Then he calls him after a week, Abba, what's with the money? You prepare it? Shuk, it's ready to go. You're putting tefillin every day? Yeah, sure. Every day, sure. No problem. The money is ready. A week after, Abba, what's with the check? Send it. It's going to take time until it gets here. You're putting tefillin every day? Don't worry, the check is on the way. A week after, he still didn't get the check. He called up his father, hey, you're fooling me? It's not fair. We made a deal, no? Wait a minute. You're putting tefillin every day? So why do you worry so much? We made a deal. The check is on the way. You'll have it, I promise. And now the week went by. It's a month already. Now he has to come back soon. Call up his father. You fooled me. Where is the check? The father started to have tears in his eyes. Where is the check? How, you fool? You're lying to your father. The check is inside the pouch of the tefillin. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to each one of us. Your Olam Haba is in your pocket. Just do 1, 2, 3. And we call to ask Hashem, why I don't have Parnasa? The Parnasa was shipped to you. But you own it with your Chilulei Shabbat and stealing and cheating. Your wife was sent to you. But you push her out of the window with all the things that you do. Here and there with the clubs and in the internet, Hashem Erachem. Every time she's about to reach you, you push her away for another 3 months. Why would I give you a wife? That you drag her with you to hell, the way you live? And after a while, Hashem said to the wife, he doesn't know it. She meets somebody else. She doesn't know that her shidduch was this guy, but he lost his opportunity. Somebody came and took her from him. Ikdima. Shema, it says, Mechol HaMoed, we're not to get engaged. Why? Shema yavo acher yakdimena. Maybe somebody will come and take your wife away from you if you wait another week. Why? Playing with fire. One more sin. The scale turned around to the negative side. Moshe came and took it from Yitzchak. And when they come to Shamayim, they show Moshe, this was supposed to be your wife, not the one who gave you hair.
So why did you give me hair?
Because of this and this and this and that. Nobody suffer for no reason. No one. You don't have parnasa. Hashem is in charge of this. He knows why. You're not healthy. That's what Hashem wants. Check why. You don't have a shidduch already 40 years. That's the way Hashem wanted. Why? Check. Everything has a reason. You were very rich. Now you lost all your money. Your parnasa go up and down 100 times a year. Everything has a reason. Your children are doing all kinds of bad things. Check. Check. Not always you're going to see why. But if you really, really want to show Hashem that you care and you want to correct, you'll be amazed how clear is the messages are going to be. The more you show Hashem, you search for Him, like David HaMelech crying and begging the entire daily, Tzama nafshi, I'm thirsty, my soul is thirsty for you, Hashem. Show me a way, get me close to you, help me to see your truth, let me walk through your Torah. I want your Torah every day, every night. All I want is Torah. I don't care about money and gold. And David HaMelech didn't lie to Hashem. You know how I know? How I know? How I know, besides the fact that he was a tzaddik, how I know that David HaMelech, every word that he said is true. If he wasn't true, Hashem wouldn't enter it into the Torah. It wouldn't be an integral part of the Tanakh. Tanakh or Hashem has no lies. There are many, many events that took place at the same time when you read Yirmiyah, Yeshayah, Yoel, Amos, many things. The one who made it into the Tanakh needed the approval of Hashem. Many Jews say things. Only specific things went in. And every word has a meaning and guidance to teach us and to show us the way. Chodesh Elul comes in 48 hours. It's time to make an overhaul to the engine. We say in Birkat HaLevana, Lev Tahor Berali Elokim Veruach Nachon Chadesh Bekirbi. Many people say, Lev Tahor Berali Elokim. Because they don't pay attention to the Hebrew Nikud. What's the difference between Lev Tahor Berali Elokim to Lev Tahor Berali Elokim with the Shva? What's the difference? Big difference. Lev Tahor Bara means Hashem created to me a pure heart. But that's it. Now who knows what's with his heart? Lev Tahor Berali Elokim, it's a request. Hashem, please create to me a pure heart. That means turn my heart to be pure. Veruach Nachon Chadesh Bekirbi. And renew my spirit, my neshama. What? If I was Esav, make me Yaakov. Why? Even for this, we need to pray to Hashem. What do you think? Help me to be able to put tefillin on time. Help me to get up on time in the morning. The day of the Jew, if he doesn't start in the right time in the morning, the entire day is lost. No blessing in the rest of the day. You see all these people who show up to the shul 10 o'clock in the morning? It's big chilul Hashem. Big chilul Hashem. The Satan in Shamayim is pointing at each one of them to show Hashem, look at your lazy children. And look at the Arabs, 5 o'clock in the mosque. Look at this murderer. Look at this Hamas. Look at this Al-Qaeda. Remember how they blew up the head of Ahmed Yassin Yimach Shimo? 5 o'clock in the morning when he came out of the mosque. He finished Shachrit already. Why? A second Hitler davened Shachrit at 5 o'clock. The children of Hashem, what time is it, Miriam? It's 8:45, Moshe. So Kriyat Shema is in 10 minutes. Oh, okay, there's a second Kriyat Shema. Then he want breakfast, 2 cups of coffee, and those that goes to the mikveh, 2 hours like this. Finally, when they come to pray, it's already, they cook the steaks in the shish kebab here. When they eat steaks in a restaurant across the street, there are people who daven shachrit. 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And then they wonder why we have so many tragedies and problems. It looks like the small things. This is what Parashat Ekev said 2 weeks ago. Ekev ki tishmeru et mitzvotai. Ekev means mitzvot she'adam dash be'akevo. Mitzvot that a person doesn't pay so much attention. It's no big deal. You know, who cares about this mitzvot? It's, I do the main mitzvot, I do. The little ones, I don't have so much patience. Hashem tests you on the little ones. The big one, every fool knows you have to do. You know Torah, you know Hashem, you know you have to keep Shabbat. You know you have to put tefillin. You know you have to give tzedakah. You know you have to learn Torah. You know you have to put tzitzit. This is ordinary. The little things, that's when Hashem tests you the most. Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. Sanctify yourself with what you permitted. And what's the example for that? A person that is a farmer, he has to give 10% from everything that grows on his field. But Hashem knew that it's going to be stingy Jews, that he will kill them to give 10% to the poor people or to the Kohen or to the Levi. So he said, okay, if you don't want to give, I have a shortcut for you. What is the shortcut? You bring all the foods into your house from the chimney, from the attic. You bring it down with a rope, with a basket. If it did not enter the main door of the house, patur mimaser. No tax. Free. You go through the congregation, you give them the money, they return to you in cash. No problem. No tax. 5 Porsches in the driveway, 7 Mercedes in the other driveway. No tax. Don't worry. That's what Hashem says. So what happened in the end? You just bought thousands of fruits. You have to give hundreds of them. You don't want to give, you bring it from the roof. You did not violate the rules. Hashem gave me a shortcut. No. I want to give. Because I know that's what Hashem wants. To begin with, he said to give 10%. Now he knew that there will be weak people, so he gave them a shortcut. To help them not to be big sinners. I want to give. I'm coming from the front door here. Here is my 10%. That's a kosher Jew. You can go around? No. First, my obligations to you, Hashem. After a while, Hashem see that you behave like this. Hashem is praised in Shalayim with every Jew like this. Why? Remember the words of the Gemara. Kol ha'olam nizon bishvil chanina bni. I feed the whole world thanks to my son Hanina. Which Hanina? Hanina ben Nosa, one of the rabbis. Vehu dailo bekav shel charuvim me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. And what does Rabbi Hanina ben Nosa eat? Carobs. You know the black carobs that are like stick, sweet with peach inside? Carobs. Nobody even knows what it is. Carobs. Nobody wants to eat it. It's like eating steak with sugar on it. Steaks, wood with sweetener on it. That's what it looks like. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa eats carobs, and he doesn't want anything. And thanks to him, all the world is coming to the world. If Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa would live in this generation, the Chilonim in Israel, on the internet and on the news, will call him parasite. Go to work! What are you doing all day learning Torah? Go to college! He's eating thanks to him, and he puts him down. You understand? That's why Chazal called this world Alma de Shikra, Olam HaSheker, the world of the lies. And over there, nobody can fool Hashem. Ein roa, ve'ozen shomad, ve'chol ma'asecha, ve'setel nichtavim. Thank you very much. And good luck in Chodesh Elul, Be'ezrat Hashem.